Yeah, so we don't know if that's her real name, and with no leads and no identification, authorities could not determine who this woman was definitively. We're gonna get into the theories.
Is that all the evidence?
Yeah, man.
That's so little.
It's not a lot of evidence, and the thing is, like, with the graffiti, we don't know if that, if the whoever wrote it.
That just like, says, like, speculation slash, not copycat, but, like, red herring to me.
Yeah, totally. You know? But, like, we don't, it sucks that we don't know for sure, because the name Bella could potentially be a piece of evidence, and it could also potentially be absolutely nothing.
So, wait, all we know is, in 1941, a female body, 35 years old, had children, had dental work done.
Brown hair,
taffeta in the mouth.
5 foot tall.
Okay.
Hand removed at some point.
Potentially. Put in a tree. Stuffed into a
hollow tree trunk.
And then 18 months later was found.
Yes.
And that's all we know.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like there's more evidence?
Found with a shoe, a gold ring, and some fabric.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay. So, the most popular theory at the time, I wonder if this is like a satanic panic kind of thing, even though it's early, was that she was a member or a sacrifice of a witch's cult and was sacrificed as indicated by the removal of her hand, which was thought to be an element in black magic executions. This could be attributed to something known as the Hand of Glory, an old European ritual in which the hand of a corpse was cut off and turned into a candle. And it was believed to be able to open all doors it came into contact with. And if someone has the hand and they, like, shake it at you, they're like, who goes there? Then you would just stop moving. But I couldn't find any evidence that the Hand of Glory was attributed to witchcraft specifically. It seemed just like an old European, like, weird thing. I mean, it sounds occulty.
It sounds witchy.
Right.
Also, it's in Harry Potter, so then you think it is witchy.
What's in Harry Potter?
In the Borgin and Belks, in the dark magic shop. When he goes, he doesn't go to Diagon Alley, and then there's a Hand of Glory, and isn't Malfoy looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Wormtail cuts off his hand to resurrect Voldemort.
That has nothing to do with that. Sorry, absolutely I just said does. That
it
so
absolutely
weirdly.
Does. It was a, like a spell or like a ritual.
Yes, I'm saying the Hand of Glory is a well-known thing in folklore, and it is actually a Hand of Glory, as in, like, it's supposed to be a thief's hand that's made into a candle in the dark magic shop when Harry is hiding and watching.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yes, but that's an actual Hand of Glory, whereas the other thing you're talking about is just a hand.
Okay, well.
Sorry. Wait. This is 1943 in, like, small-town England?
Yeah.
Okay.
Countryside.
A cult, maybe.
I think that's so much, like, as far as the hand explanation goes, I feel like it's just more likely that an animal carried the hand off a little.
No, I think the boys were fucking with the corpse and then got spooked.
The corpse.
I don't know, but I just think that the hand still being there 18 months after the body was put there, I really think that it wouldn't have been there for 18 months. It would have had to be so recent.
Off. Yeah. All right, this one's a doozy. All right, so there's a journalist named Wilfred Byford Jones who received a letter in 1953, so like 5 years, right? No, 10 years after the body was found, from a mysterious individual who only identified herself as Anna of Claverley. Claverley?
Who's to say?
All right, so the letters read, in part, finish your articles, read The Witch Elm Crime by all means. They are interesting to your readers, but you will never solve the mystery. The one person who could give the answer is now beyond the jurisdiction of the earthly courts. The affair is closed and involves no witches, black magic, or moonlight rites. So Byford Jones ends up writing back and forth with this Anna of Claverley, who was like, I'm not going to identify myself. And then, like, after a few letters, she's like, all right, my name's Una Mossop, and identifies herself. And is like, yeah, that's fine. And then she ends up just telling him everything. So her late husband, Jack, had apparently met a Dutchman who gave him some intel on local industry sites. And then Jack later tells his wife, Una/Anna, that the Dutchman was a Nazi agent named Von Ralt.
Okay.
So I guess Jack and Von Ralt would meet at a pub in Hagley. And then one night they meet up and Von Ralt was arguing with a Dutch woman who became very drunk. So basically he makes Jack drive them both out to the Clint Hills, but the argument got really out of hand and apparently she was being belligerent and then they got violent with each other and the Dutch agent... Alright, so from here it forks off into two different directions, two different possibilities. One version is that he strangled the woman in the car and that Jack was scared that Van Ralt would kill him if he didn't cover for him, so he helps him carry out the body into the nearby Hagley Wood, where together the men buried it in the hollow of the elm tree. The other version of the story states that they didn't intend to kill her. Von Ralt, I guess, didn't intend to kill her, only to scare her.
Mm-hmm.
So she passes out drunk, and he stuffs her body into the tree.
What a funny prank.
This will really show her when she wakes up and is in a tree trunk, I guess.
That's stupid.
But none of it explains the taffeta in her mouth, because what's-his-butt said that she had been strangled, not suffocated.
Was she found with clothes on, or any other fabric around her?
There was fabric around her.
So she was wearing clothes.
Yeah. But if he had strangled her, theoretically, he would have broken her neck.
How?
That's the thing that's going on with Jeffrey Epstein. They said that, like, it was more likely that he was strangled the way his neck was broken.
How tall did you say this woman was?
5 feet.
Not Dutch. Dutch people are tall.
Really?
I mean, no, I wouldn't 100% prove say... it. I would not 100% say, no, she's not
you
Dutch.
Sounded therefore pretty confident. The whole,
Dutch people are tall. Like, I'm that's tall. Well known.
I'm tall.
Maybe you have Dutch heritage. Tall. You're tall.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, Dutch people are tall, generally.
All right, well, that doesn't definitively
no, but
it out. I was going to say, if you strangle someone, can, like, you block off their airway, I guess you could do it without breaking their neck, but...
Yeah. You could.
Okay.
I don't know. I just, like, I didn't really follow that. So this woman is writing in... Tells who she is. Her husband knows a Dutch guy who knows a Dutch woman who kills her.
Yeah. It's his wife. So this woman's husband had a Dutch friend who had a wife.
Who had a Dutch wife, and he killed the wife because she pissed him off because they were fighting in a bar.
Yeah. And he's also a Nazi spy.
Okay. I guess, like, why would you write in about this? Like, what do you gain from it if it's not true?
Mm-hmm. But to add some credibility to the story, Jack was actually committed to a mental institution in 1941 for recurring nightmares about a woman's body in a tree, and he died while he was institutionalized.
The Dutch guy?
No, the Dutch guy's friend. The husband of the woman
who was there for the murder, probably.
Yes.
Okay.
So at least we know, like, this guy is being haunted by something.
Yeah, like, to be honest, this is one where... If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Even though you want it to be something, like, occulty and more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's kind of no reason to make this shit up. And it does, like, because there's so little evidence, I would have no way of being like, no, that's not true. So I just feel like it probably is.
You buy that one, then?
I don't not buy it. I think in a case with this little evidence, you kind of can't, like, rule anything out. I don't not buy it, yeah.
Here's another one.
Okay.
This one's a little bit more bizarre. That one was pretty, like, fairly weird.
Yeah.
A little bizarre. It's
convoluted, like.
Yeah. This one is even more, I think. This version, the victim, is known as the cabaret singer.
Mm-hmm. Already more exciting.
There's a file that details the arrest and interrogation of a Gestapo agent... Named Joseph Jacobs. Do you know what Gestapo is? Gestapo
Nazi, right? They're Nazis, right?
I shouldn't know that, but it's not my notes. Okay, so Gestapo, secret police of Nazi Germany and German-occupied Europe.
Are Gestapos the same as the SS? Never mind. SS. I don't know, I think. Type in Nazi SS.
Nazi SS. Versus Nazi SS, which was a quote from Wikipedia, a major paramilitary organization under Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party in Nazi Germany.
So, sorry, what's a Gestapo? Nazi secret police?
Nazi secret police.
Okay, cool.
How is this different, then? But what is
I think
this?
They're just different organizations.
Okay. So, this guy, Joseph Jacobs, was a Gestapo agent. So, okay. Nazi secret police. And he was actually the last man to be executed at the Tower of London.
Whoa.
Or he was sentenced to be. I don't know if he actually was. I think he was. And he was captured after he parachuted into Cambridgeshire in 1941. So when they caught him, they found a photograph of a young woman in his belongings. It was, like, on his person.
Mm-hmm.
She was a cabaret singer and movie star named Clara Barlow.
Give me a try. Barla. No, Barla.
Blau.
Disrespecting her name.
I'm sorry. Barla.
Yeah.
Clara Barla.
Barla.
Clara Barla.
So, say it some more.
Baurle.
Once more with feeling.
Don't come at me, okay? It's comedy. So, Jacob said that she had also been recruited by the Gestapo. Okay, so Barla was a German cabaret singer and had worked in Birmingham for several years. And I guess she had developed a convincing accent of the local area. So for that reason, she would be a good candidate for a spy. You know, she's working in England.
So she is German. She lives in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's a German woman who can feasibly pass as
English.
English. So Jacob's claim was that she was supposed to follow him into England.
They're already in England.
You're right, aren't you? I'm sorry.
Maybe she went back to Germany.
Birmingham's in England.
Yeah.
How did she go from living in Birmingham to parachuting into England?
I feel like if they wanted to recruit her into their spy organization,
she would have had to been going back and forth.
Well, I don't know, because didn't you just say they trained her? I don't know. So, at any rate, maybe she's gone back, but they're parachuting into England.
So, she was supposed to follow him in, like, 1941. He was captured, and she was never seen again.
This was the guy, wait, he parachuted in to get out of Germany? Or to go on a mission in England?
Probably to go on a mission, I would
say. And he was captured, and they found him with this thing in his pocket.
Yeah, with the picture of her.
Yeah.
And was like, I love her, and she's a spy, too.
Way to throw her under the bus.
Right, but she was never seen again.
So they think he killed her and put her in the tree.
No, yeah. Not him. Maybe she was... it doesn't clarify. It just says that she was...
So that's more a theory on her identity rather than the murder.
Right.
Yeah, that one does nothing for me, just because, right, like, there's no actual evidence.
There's not a lot of information either way, and there's some, like, weird, like, it just, too many loose ends, too many...
That's, yeah, like, a missing person.
Right. But the timing and descriptions match up, I guess, yeah, except for, actually, not really, because she was, witnesses put Claire at 6 feet tall, and usually I'm like...
Yeah, right.
Usually I'm like, I don't really, you know... Witness descriptions aren't super compelling to me, but if you see someone that's 6 feet tall, you're like, it's a tall person.
You're not going to mistake them for 5 feet tall.
Right.
Wonder if she was Dutch. Probably German.
Was she Dutch?
No, I'm being ridiculous. I'm doing a callback. That's how they do it in comedy.
Yeah.
A callback to something they said earlier. Jesus Christ, we're so boring.
And then the next theory is a sex worker who worked on... I think it was Hagley Road. It was somewhere in the town where Hagley Woods was. And there was a sex worker named Lubella who disappeared 3 years before the body was found. So again, doesn't really explain the murder. Is a possible identity.
Yeah. How good are they in 1943 at knowing how long a body has been decomposing? maybe not that good.
Probably pretty good. We'd be surprised. But...
I mean, then in that case, if the other sex workers are, like, trying to get justice for their friend, and then maybe it's one of them that's saying, who put Lubella in the tree?
Ooh, I love that concept.
Yeah.
There's the most compelling evidence is for the first theory.
But, yes, I agree. But that's kind of all hearsay, isn't it? That's all secondhand.
You're right.
That's just, like, someone telling a story. Oh, I don't know. Who put her there?
Who put Bella in the witch elm?
Damn. What do you think? Is that it?
Yeah. Or another explanation is, you know, with no one person in mind, but accidental death.
And then trying to cover up.
Maybe if I'm really drunk, I climb into a tree trunk and I forget I'm in there and I fall
asleep. And you stuff taffeta in your mouth?
Yep.
I don't think so.
I think it's definitely not witchcraft, although that is super fun.
Yeah, you want it to be, especially because it's called a witch elm.
You want it to be spooky.
Yes. I agree with you. I think,
like, given it was, you know, World War II was raging at the time, it could be something, like, with a Nazi spy.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong for that, but that does nothing for me. I just don't, like, I'm not convinced.
We're back!
Aloha!
Aloha, nerd! It's Carly!
And Megan.
And we are, for the first time in the history of the podcast, in the same room, looking at each other's dumb faces right now.
Honestly, it's weird for me.
Yeah.
Because now, instead of sitting on Skype talking to a podcast audience, which is, like, weird but also more normal, we're sitting here talking to each other, but, like, not really talking to each other.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean...
Yeah.
But we're in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's not to say I'm not excited to be here with
you. Yeah, there's a bunch of gecko wall art in Megan's cute little apartment.
Carly is draped picturesquely over a floral print sofa.
As always, I'm tired.
Yeah, Carly was like, can we take a nap? And I was like, we need to record and then you can take a nap. Tell your story fast. Quickly tell me what you have been up to this week, even though I already know.
Okay, we already know.
Tell me the highlight of your week in Hawaii.
Highlight of the weekend in Hawaii thus far would probably have to be the manta ray dive.
Yeah,
even though I was freezing cold and got a little seasick towards the end, it was the coolest thing.
So there's this thing where it's a specific hotel, like, slash resort in Kona that shines lights into the water, which then...
You go out on a boat, first of all.
I'm explaining... The ocean. Yeah, but so, like, historically, this place would shine lights into the water so that you could see... I don't know, does the light attract the plankton?
The light attracts the plankton, which attracts...
The manta rays.
Fish, which attract the manta rays?
Do the manta rays eat the fish or the plankton? I think they eat the plankton.
I think you're right.
So, this hotel started doing this...
Yeah, because we didn't see any fish get... fucking obliterated.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But did the hotel start doing this 45 years ago or in 1945?
I was not a part of this conversation. I didn't know the history behind
it. So this particular hotel was the first one to do a manta ray snorkel experience. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so Carly was saying they shine these lights into the water. It brings the manta ray. And then what they do is they put these, like, giant boards out in the ocean that you jump off a boat, you hang onto the board, and you just float there with a scuba mask on, like, looking down into the water. And then because the plankton are all around, and that's what the manta rays eat, you can actually see them, and the water's so clear. The manta rays will, like, swim up and around you and everything. Mm-hmm. There was a manta ray. Well, it was yours.
It was the last one.
It was almost the end of the excursion. No, it's your story, so you can tell it.
Oh, well... We saw quite a few manta ray, mostly below us, and they would just swim across and then be on their way. And then you're out there for 45 minutes, and then the very last manta ray we saw swam underneath us, did a loop up with his giant cavernous mouth wide open, coming right at me. He's coming right at me. His mouth is open. I'm convinced I'm going to get eaten, but they're really docile. They don't eat people. And he just, like, does a flip under
like
us.
Like, belly up. I swear his belly, like, we could have reached out and touched
inches
it.
Inches away from us. It was insane.
Yeah, it was, that was very cool.
It got very cold. Obviously, you're out in the ocean for 45
minutes. And you're wearing wetsuits, and you're not, like, swimming to generate any body heat.
Right.
So
that was mine.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I think, like...
It was okay.
I think being here for Thanksgiving was cool. Just, like, the whole thing of, like, I live in Ireland, so it's horrible and cold and rainy. And then you come here, and it's sunny, and you're in paradise. But then you're like, also it's Thanksgiving, which happens in the fall, and it's not supposed to be sunny in paradise. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, what is happening?
That, yeah, the weird thing, too, is, like, a bunch of shops are playing Christmas music and stuff. So, like, you're listening to that, but then, like, you look out a window, or, like, you're outside, and
it's like, very weird. Yeah, I really enjoyed Thanksgiving because I like Thanksgiving and because it's weird to be where it's hot, and also because I like to eat and drink when I'm on vacation, and we have been doing a lot of both.
Yeah.
So that's where we are.
So, yeah, that's what we're doing.
And sorry that we were gone for 2 weeks. The first week was planned and the second week was not planned, but we just, like... It's kind of hard to run a podcast, especially when we're, like, a small podcast and we don't get paid from it. So we have to do, like, it and our normal lives.
Yeah,
and
so it's just hard. It's a lot. You know, we're learning as we go, but, you know, thank you for your patience.
Yeah.
And, it's...
And we back.
We're back, bitch!
Do you want to start?
Yeah, do you know what I'm doing?
No, I don't. Is it true crime?
It's true crime mystery.
Is it the Donner Party?
No, that's not really a mystery, but I'm still going to do that one.
Okay.
It's so good.
What are you doing?
God. I can't wait to do the Donner Party. But at the same time, I have no reason to do the Donner Party because the last podcast on the left did such a brilliant version of it.
I get you, but also, like, that's like saying, I'm sure I've done a murder. One of us has done a murder that MFM has done. They're going to be able to hear birds.
Beep, boop.
But yeah, we're like, we're not the same type of podcast as last podcast on the left.
That's, it's so good. Okay.
Have you been watching or listening anything?
No. So I feel like in the past, I've strayed a bit from our mystery theme, because we really do want to mostly do mysteries, but at the same time, we're just interested in things too that are solved, so we like have to talk about this.
Yeah, I can't resist a good story, even if it's not a mystery.
But then some things, like the Romanovs, like, that had mystery elements.
Mm.
Like, the whole, like, their executioners, like, their identities were not a mystery. Why they got killed was not a mystery. But there's that element of, like, there was the question of if one of them had escaped.
Mm.
That was pending for a very long time until it was determined that none of them had. But yeah, today we're just gonna do, like, a straight up, what the fuck is happening, what the fuck happened, will we ever know?
It's gonna stress me out.
Yes, it is. But, like I said last time, I think, like, after we go through the theories, we will both say our favorite ones.
Perfect.
Okay, so this is the chilling tale of the mystery, who put Bella in the witch elm.
Oh, the witch elm, the
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Did MFM do this?
I don't know. I think
I've listened to a podcast about this.
I think MFM might have, but I'm not actually sure. I don't know that I've listened to it. Okay. So we're in Hagley Wood, England, settled on the Hagley Estate belonging to Lord Cobham.
Probably Cobham.
Cobham.
English people are
right.
Snobby about their pronunciation.
On the 18th of...
I dare you to keep that in.
On April 18th, 1943, local boys Robert Hart, Thomas Willits, Bob Farmer, and Fred Payne were poaching for bird nests in the woods of the Hagley Wood. Which, I didn't know you could poach for... What do you want bird nests for? I guess that's a fun little
eggs
artifact.
Or... I don't know.
Probably just eggs. So they're poaching for bird nests in the Hagley Woods when they came across a large dead witch elm. So witch elms, also known as Ulmus glabra, if you're into the scientific name.
I bet you are. You love plants.
I love plants!
Carly's going through a real plant phase right now.
It's not a phase, Mom.
Sorry.
So it's basically just a type of tree, but it's kind of spooky looking. It's when its branches are bare, they look like long, spindly, like skeleton-like branches. Yeah, I described it as skeletal. Look up okay. a picture. She's just a little spooky looking.
We'll put her in the show notes.
Put her in the show notes.
It feels like so long since I've said that. Like, honestly, we haven't recorded in so long. Sorry, guys.
I just feel like the way it looks is pretty fitting for that, for, you know, the story, but who cares? No, we care. All right. Anyway, so upon finding a dead tree, they think it might be a good candidate for some bird's nests, so Bob Farmer starts climbing up the tree to see if he can find some. Instead, inside the hollow trunk, he looks down. He found what he first thought to be the skeletal remains of an animal before saw human teeth and hair.
Ooh.
The boys were on the land illegally, so they're like, fuck, we can't, like, we just have to leave it. So they book it, and they're like, we're not going to say anything, because we'll get in trouble. By the time they got home, one of them had cracked. It was the youngest one. He was so upset by what they had seen, they all just threw that out the window when the youngest boy, Thomas Willett, told his parents, and the police got involved. That would be me. Like, tag yourself. I'm Thomas Willett.
I don't like to be in trouble, and I don't like to be waiting to find out if I'm going to get in trouble, so I feel you.
Yeah. So police check the hollow trunk of the tree, and they find the following. A nearly complete human body, including the skull, which had a few missing teeth and a notably irregular jaw.
Hmm.
A clump of hair was stuck to the forehead, and a piece of taffeta cloth was stuffed in the mouth.
Oof.
The skeleton's hand was separated from the skeleton, but they found the bones of it scattered outside the tree. And then this is a fun little element. After I had done most of my research and written my notes, someone said, I think it might have been a Reddit comment, so like, take this with a grain of salt, but apparently there's some room of possibility that the boys had moved the hand.
Okay.
So in that case, that could just throw up. It's one of those pieces of evidence that, like, may or may not be true.
I mean, that really makes sense to me because, like, it's really decomposed, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, what are the odds that the bits of the hand wouldn't have been blown away or carted off by an animal?
That's
so, like,
that
it does seem like they would have, it would have been put there recently.
Mm-hmm. And they also find a shoe, a gold wedding ring, and a few fragments of clothing. A professor, James Webster, conducted the forensic examination and determined the victim had died around 18 months ago, was around 35 years age, with brown hair. She was female. She was around 5 feet tall. She had given birth in the past at some point and had, as stated before, an irregular jaw, which they were hopeful would help with their identification, but it didn't. Due to a lack of trauma on the bones, Webster determined that the cause of death was suffocation from the taffeta that had been stuffed in the mouth.
Really?
Yeah. It sounds like that might be like a more of a process of elimination, though, because
how much
examining can you do with a skeleton as opposed to a fresh corpse?
What year is this? I'm sorry.
43.
Okay.
I'm gonna turn this on. Bye. Sorry, I'm just gonna turn this on.
I thought it just might be a fan.
No. So press went mad over the mystery woman, who no one could identify. Not even dental records could help police find out who the woman was, despite the fact that she had, in fact, had dental work done.
Okay, weird.
Spoiler alert, it just means she's probably foreign.
Oh, so she would have had dental work done in another country.
Right. We'll get it. We'll touch on that. But it was World War II.
Jesus,
I'm just going to do that every time I, like, trip over my words. But it was, World War II was raging in the UK and everywhere. But UK was not doing great. They were getting the shit bummed out of them. Uh-huh. And before long, it became evident that people had much bigger things to worry about than an unidentified dead body found in the woods.
I want, every time one of us says a swear word, can we use those noises to bleep it out?
Yes. So people stopped talking about the body for a while. 2 years, to be exact. Until...
Exactly 2 years?
Ish. Until the graffiti started. Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Oh! It first appeared on a wall in Upper Dean Street, Birmingham. Who put Lou Bella down the witch elm? And then again, one read, Hagley Wood Bella. Then, iconically, dare I say, who put Bella in the witch elm? These messages were written by hand, and whether or not Bella was the victim's real name, it would come to be how she was known. They are now, including by police and investigators.
Based on what we know about how crimes regarding sex workers are treated, yeah, maybe that one, just because, like...
She did have a wedding ring, though.
Not that you can't be married if you're a sex worker, but maybe would you not wear it? I just think it's wild that with a wedding ring and dental records, they couldn't identify this woman.
That also says to me she would have had to be foreign.
Yes. Again, so, okay, yeah. I think, what is this, what's the woman's name that writes in? Anne of Claverly.
Yeah.
What does she get out of lying to the newspaper? Is she a bored housewife? She's making something up? Maybe. But, like, then the husband with the nightmares. I'm going to go ahead and say that one if I have to say one, which I know is this new thing we're trying. So, yeah, probably.
I'm going to say that one, too.
The Dutch guy.
I don't typically like people who are, like, right in. And there was also a deathbed confession in there somewhere. Like,
that love a deathbed confession.
Doesn't do anything for me. But, like, it makes sense. Like, she was foreign. She, was that it? Was that all that? Was
that all that? No, that actually is. Married.
Married.
That's just the only one that has any evidence at all, really.
Right, the others are totally, like,
I mean, this is all
scenarios.
Basically. Yeah, this is all a scenario. I don't know what someone would get out of making that up, so. And then the thing about the husband with the nightmares.
Yeah, like, that's totally compelling to me.
Yeah.
Like, she's not, like, pretending her husband did a bad thing and is crazy. Like, her husband actually, like, has clearly experienced some sort of trauma or has some sort of mental illness that landed him in a mental institution where he died and he was having nightmares of a woman buried in a tree.
Now, I know you literally just said this, but where the story splits off was either a prank or murder, right?
Not really prank, but, like...
Definitely murder, right?
But, like, punishment.
You know? I don't think it's that. I don't think he left her in the tree thinking, haha, she'll hate this. I think they killed her. Although, they didn't strangle her.
They might have strangled her if they didn't break her neck.
They might have strangled her. I mean, look, if they've been in a bar, they've been drinking, she might be heavily intoxicated. They might have strangled her enough to make her pass out. Maybe she's disoriented. Maybe she's not. Then you've got... something stuffed in your mouth, like, you very well could suffocate, especially if you're drunk or, like...
Also, I feel like strangulation and suffocation are fairly similar, that the woman writing in could have just mistaken the two. And maybe she...
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Maybe they smothered
the woman wasn't actually there, right?
No.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that, probably, if I have to pick one.
That one, then the sex worker one. Second...
Oh, you're going to rank them?
I'm not going to rank them all, but the sex worker one is
my second that.
Favorite. Because there was a sex worker named Lou Bella, according to some police records, who had disappeared.
Now, if you were like...
But if I was a sex worker, I would not be wearing all my fancy jewelry, because robbery.
True. Okay, so if somebody were to say to you, do you think one of those theories is real, or do you think it is something that no one knows about? Like, I know that we have picked our favorite of the theories that we have, but...
And we agree.
Yes, but do you think, if you are really going to be pressed, would you say, yeah, I think one of these theories is right, or I think it's something else that we don't know about?
Oh, God.
I kind of think it's something else.
I kind of do, too. Nothing is super makes sense, and there's just not a lot of evidence either way.
Yeah. It's weird if it's a small town. And there was, like,
a woman... What if I was a sex worker and I wasn't on duty, and I'm just out about town, maybe I'm married, maybe I'm a fancy bitch and I'm wearing a ring?
In which case, the only connection to the crime is... The same thing, whether you're a sex worker or not, the only connection in that one is the name Lou Bella.
Right.
Okay.
And the fact that Lou Bella had disappeared.
In the Anne of Claverly one, do you think that it was her writing... I kind of think the who put Lou Bella in the witch elm is, like, just a random thing.
Like a townie?
A townie, yeah, I guess.
That's what they call him in The Sims 4, and I'm, you know.
But then why would you... Why Lou Bella? Why not I know they probably didn't have the term Jane Doe at the time, but why not? Maybe they did have the term Jane Doe.
So, you're saying Lou Bella can be, like, a filler name?
No, I'm saying if it is just some person being like, who put that bitch in the witch elm, why pick the name Lou Bella? Right. It's not a generic filler name.
Totally.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's a mystery. I really, like, I have heard of this story, and I really thought that it had more evidence.
Yes, why, what reason does Anne of Claverly have to lie? But also, why do it?
Why do what? Write in and tell? Right,
I guess to clear her conscience. She has knowledge of... not going to lie, identify. Also, she would have been, like, subsequently interviewed. I feel like if that was a legit thing, we would have heard more about it.
Yeah. Do I have to pick one of the theories? I think none of them are right. I think the woman writing in wants attention. I think whoever writing on the walls is just trying to stir up shit. I think whoever did it got away with it. Whether it was a sex worker or...
Well, you want to know something creepy?
No.
That graffiti is still going up today.
Oh, that's copycats, though.
But still...
Yeah, I mean, it's people... Yeah, interesting.
Or someone knows something.
I guess. Oh, that is kind of
creepy.
You
can't say definitively.
No, I can't.
Who's writing it. That's true. Definitely possible.
It's not the same person writing it, unless it was a kid who's now...
What if it's a mystery in the family?
Maybe.
You ever heard of The Watcher?
Stop doing that, because we're going to hear it on
there.
Say it again.
You ever heard of The Watcher?
No.
It was an unsolved case from recently, like 2017, 2016, about like... This family bought a house and moved into the house, and they started getting
letters. Oh my god, letters. No, that's the scariest case I've ever heard of. Is that real?
Yeah.
Jeff told us about that
at Sushi Mito. We'll probably do it on the podcast at some point.
Oh my god, no, that was the scariest story I've ever heard.
Nah.
It's so scary.
But my point being that the guy writing that letter was like, my father was the watcher before me, and now I'm the watcher.
Yeah, no, hate that.
What if someone knows something and that's passed down?
Hate it.
Through generations.
Hate
Someone
it.
Knows it's a family secret, or, like, a bunch of people are in on it. I guess not, because no one knows. The question is, who put Bella in the witch elm? But, god damn it, who wrote those messages, and why? I shake my fist! I want to know!
Maybe, I don't know, I just think it's someone who wants justice for Bella.
In that case, sex workers?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, dude.
But it checks, god, like... If Anne of Claverly is telling the truth, which is a big fucking massive if, that's pretty compelling. Everything checks out.
Yeah. When you have this little evidence, it's easy for everything to check out. There's not that many things to process of elimination, like, to go through.
Maybe we'll do a sequel episode of this. Maybe I can look into more, make sure I got all the evidence. I mean, I used...
Oh, I'm not saying you're telling me wrong.
I know, but I'm like...
There I feel like these old cases, like, sometimes there just isn't.
Maybe there's not. Fuck. Yeah.
On that note,
who do you think did it? Leave a review and tell us who you think did it. Or if you're writing the graffiti, leave a review.
If you're writing the graffiti, oh my god, can you imagine? Sorry.
How about you leave a 5-star rating and then leave a review that just says, who put Bella in the witch elm? I'll take it.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Even a 4-star review. Actually, don't do that.
No, 5 stars.
Please.
What are you looking forward to?
Being in Hawaii by myself for 2 days. Without a car. Yeah, our mom fucked up. And, we all know I love my mom. But, long story short, she told me the wrong date to book, and I'm stranded in Hawaii for a few days by myself.
Oh no, stranded in paradise.
Without my family. All by myself.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. What about you?
Right at this moment, I'm looking forward to going and sitting on that balcony and being in the warm while I do the show notes. And, like, other than the few more days that we have in Hawaii, which I'm obviously looking forward to, I am then looking forward to this weekend. I'm seeing my friend's show back in Dublin, and I am going to a Messiah sing-along for Christmas.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
Sushi tonight.
Yeah, we're going to have sushi now.
I think I'm going to wear my new skirt to dinner.
Lovely. Anything else to share with the class?
How long was that?
Long enough.
Was it?
45 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
We did good.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
We have to edit out that part where you were trying to look up that fact.
Yeah, but that'll be like 43 minutes.
Yeah. You have to edit out this part too.
Don't tell me what to do. All right, well, I think we're going to go...
Time to wrap up.
I'm going to go take a little rest upstairs.
Okay.
Oh, no, we're not upstairs. We're down the hall.
Yeah.
Duh. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. Sorry we were gone, but we're back, and we're never leaving.
Oh, God, don't say that. Okay.
Okay.
Have a lovely week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, Carly here, and we wanted to thank you for listening to Sisterly History Mysteries. We hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed talking about it and sharing it with you. If you don't mind, we'd really appreciate it if you'd rate, review, and subscribe, as it makes our day, but it also really helps us out. You can email us at sisterlyhistorymysteries@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @sisterlypodcast. Good night!